Chapter 28. The Magic of Creation. He was battered and bruised and bloody, but he knew that he had suffered far less than many of his companions here in the great antechamber of Gontalgrim. The exhausted King Brunner refused all aid, as did his queens, no less beaten up than he. He needed rest, though, after a long day of fighting, but he took it at the wall, or what was left of it, out by the tram station across the pond. From there he would direct his forces. They had secured the front half of the cavern, including three important choke points, but their enemies were pressing them once more. Too many dwarves were hurt and exhausted to take the fight to the demons, but the area they had gained was defensible, affording them some respite, that they might gather their strength and, more importantly, that they might get a couple of the stalagmite artillery stations and stalactite archer and scout posts back in operation. From a strictly military perspective, it had gone better than they could have hoped, but the task before them remained truly daunting. And now time seemed to be running short, for the ground was rumbling again already, the primordial threatening to break free. Even clearing the remaining demons from this cavern was going to take too long, Brunner feared. But he pressed on. What choice did he have? He rallied his dwarves, ever loyal, every one more than willing to die for Clan Battlehammer, for their king and queens, for their Delzoon heritage, and for the belief that their actions would advance the cause they thought of as good, the cause of the dwarves of Faerûn. At any point in which the situation was stabilized, Brunner ignored the clerics calling for him to rest and went to the wounded, walking their lines, encouraging the priests to do more, to find every last gasp of magical energy they would muster. Then he went back into the throne room to pay respect to the dead, every one, and thank them, and kiss their cold, bloody cheeks. On one such journey, King Brunner was met by a cleric they called Penny. "Oh, me King Brunner, ye must be comin'," she said, gasping for breath, for she had run a long way to find him. "The babe's coming, don't ye doubt." Brunner took a deep breath and tried to consider the moment, the child of his daughter, his beloved Catti Bree, the child of Catti Bree and his dearest, now lost friend. He gave a helpless chuckle, telling himself that he had to win here, or at least find a way to break out. He wasn't afraid to die, he already had once, but the child of Drizzt and Catti Bree? That one, Brunner decided then and there, was not going to die before it got the chance to live up to the incredible promise of its lineage. "Take me," he told Penny. But they had barely started when Brunner stopped and changed his mind. "I'll go to her. Yourselves to find Zacnaphane. Seen him out by the tram not long ago. Ye find him and ye tell him and ye bring him." "Aye, me king," she said and ran off. "And Rumblebelly," Brunner yelled after her. "Don't ye forget Rumblebelly!" Brunner ran off too, but not before running to the throne of the dwarven gods and hopping into it once more. "I only ask when it's not for meself," he prayed to Moradin. "And I'm knowing that this one's not one of your own by blood heritage. But it's me grandchild. And know that whate'er me girl has here, it couldn't be more me own than if it was me own, or me own blood girl's own. So don't ye let the babe die in this place now, I beg." He felt the sticky blood on his cheek when he moved to wipe his tears. "Damned I'll be if I come back here just to see this all fall down," he muttered, rambling through the halls and down the stairs. All empty, except for patrols and guard posts he had ordered kept in place, and the occasional couriers heading back to the entry cavern, bearing weapons and tools and other supplies, and one group of eight carrying a side-slinger catapult. Their determination and attention to duty and detail lifted Brunner's heart as he made his way, but another quake from the primordial tempered his hopes. They were going to have to leave, likely, and soon. Brunner entertained thoughts that perhaps they could break out into the Underdark. He only hoped that if that occurred, his enemies would take the place right behind their departure, and have the primordial blow the whole Dern complex up right under their feet, and good enough for them. Would Brunner again soon be crowned king of Mithril Hall, far to the east? He shook that thought away as soon as it entered his head. If they lost here, he would die here, almost certainly, and if by some strange chance he and his fellows did escape, Brunner would take to the road, following the path of adventure. Aye, he thought. He'd gather Rumblebelly and find Wolfgar, and they, with Catti Bree, when she was able, would go. It all seemed so hollow suddenly. The companions of the hall were now four, not five. No time for such dark thoughts, Brunner chuckled then, imagining what Guinevere would have done if she'd heard him so excuse her from the companions. Brunner ran on, finally coming to Catti Bree's private chambers. He was surprised, but only momentarily, to find Zacnafane already there waiting for him. The drow's clothing was torn in many places, blood and demon gore splattered all over him. He had a gash on one cheek, and his eye above it was swollen nearly closed.
"What do we know, good King Brunner?" Zacnafane asked, scrambling up to him.
"How'd ye—" Brunner started to ask, but he understood when Zacnafane pointed to the anklets he wore.
"Thought ye was wearing them on your wrists as they were made," Brunner asked. "I wanted to get here fast, so I put them on my ankles as my son does."
The tense of his words, the desperate intimation that Drizzt was alive, stiffened Brunner with discomfort.
"Ain't knowing nothing yet," said Brunner. "Me girl's soon to be a ma, so I've been telled, but ye beat me here."
He nodded to the door.
"I haven't gone in," Zacnafane replied. "I thought it best to wait for you."
A loud groan came from the other side of that door. Brunner hesitated.
"Ain't never seen something like this before," he admitted.
Zack managed a laugh.
"Where I come from, any child's birth witnessed by a man would likely mean the immediate execution of both the child and the witness." "Yeah, lovely place," Brunner said.
And when another, louder cry sounded, the dwarf moved past Zack and pushed into the room. They found Catti Bree kneeling on the bed, leaning forward, blowing out her breath powerfully. Her face was bright red.
"I know, good ye've come, but get ye out of here," said the priestess tending her.
The second midwife, holding Catti Bree's hand, scowled mightily at her king.
"Aye, aye," Brunner apologized. "Me girl, I'll be right outside."
"You stay,"
Catti Bree gasped between blows. And when the dwarf priestesses tried to argue, she said,
"He stays,"
with such intensity that the both of them fell silent.
"I will wait outside," Zack offered. "All my good thoughts and prayers are with you."
Zack paused and seemed unsure.
"My daughter," he finished.
Catti Bree couldn't manage a smile, it seemed, but she did manage a nod. And with a return acknowledgement and an awkward bow, Zack went out of the room. He started to close the door behind him, but stepped aside as Penny and another drow rushed past him. The sight of Ivanel surprised Brunner, but he was glad that the powerful priestess had come. When the two women crossed into the room, Brunner saw past them to two others. Regis, who looked as battered as Brunner had ever seen him, his fine clothes splattered with gore and bits of blood. Beside the halfling stood Jarlaxle, looking very much like he was about to attend a formal court ball, not a mark or a splatter on him. Of course not.
"It's past," Catti Bree said then. "Aye, lie her down," Penny said.
"Poor girl's looking like she's crawled all the way from Waterdeep." They got Catti Bree down and covered her with a blanket quickly. Ivanel moved up and brushed the three priestesses aside.
"Go away to the other room," she told them. "I must speak with Catti Bree."
"What are ye about?" Brunner asked, but Ivanel ignored him. "When a king asks ye what are ye about in his house, you're wise to tell him," Brunner reminded.
"I have to speak with Catti Bree," Ivanel replied. "It's about the delivery of her child, which I expect will be before the dawn."
Brunner didn't move.
"Me Dakin hear whatever you've to tell me," Catti Bree said.
Brunner looked to his daughter, then nodded to the still open door and the drow eagerly leaning toward them, obviously nervous. Catti Bree agreed.
"Zacnafane, get in here," Brunner called.
He didn't have to be asked twice and stood at Brunner's side in the span of an eye blink. Brunner saw that Catti Bree appeared quite fine with Zack being there, so he turned his attention to Ivanel and noted her look at Zack, one that was first sour but quickly, it seemed, accepting.
"You actually have some knowledge of this," she said to the weapon master, drawing a curious stare in reply. Perhaps when I am done and have departed, you can help this woman make her decision.
Caddy Bree grunted in pain, then puffed it away in short and determined blows.
If you want to talk, do it now, she insisted through gritted teeth.
There is a secret among the drow, known only to a few priestesses, matrons among us, Evenel began. It concerns a magic, little used and sometimes dangerous, uncontrollable even. In our own history, it is utilized only when available and only in desperation.
Birth magic, Zack whispered,
nodding, for the war with House Hanet was a fight he would never forget.
Magic to assist in the birth?
Caddy asked and winced.
If you have something,
no, not that, Evenel interrupted, not that at all. The moment of childbirth is the most powerful moment of creation a person can know. There is nothing to rival its intensity. It is the epitome of a woman's closeness to the powers of the universe. Call them gods, call it nature, call it a primordial. There is a magic that can channel that intensity into a thrown spell and send it wide across great distances.
Caddy Bree's face twisted in more than the grimace from her discomfort.
As I have told you, we did not use it often, Evenel said. The last time in Menzo Baranzon was to utterly stun an entire room of priestesses, many high priestesses, even a matron, as one house overtook another. Many believe that victorious house would not have had a chance in that fight except that the matron, in the moment of giving birth, battered her enemies.
You ask me to deliver my child in a moment of great destruction?
Caddy Bree asked, her tone somewhere between disbelief and anger.
I cannot.
It does not have to be that, Evenel replied. At least I believe it does not, though with my own people, with my long memories, I admit I have no example of something other than war.
Caddy Bree was sweating now, her face turning bright red. Leave me, she ordered Evenel.
I can teach the dwarves attending you the ritual easily, the drow replied. It is similar to their other rituals. They serve as no more than the conduit for your amplification.
Leave me, the woman demanded.
Evenel nodded and stood.
Of course, she said and bowed.
I pray that you and your child will come through this easily, and hope that he or she will live up to the integrity and beauty of the parents.
She gave a look and shrug at Zack and walked out of the room, closing the door behind her.
Zack offered a resigned look at Caddy Bree.
You cannot agree with this, the woman growled at him. Do not make me believe that all I have come to hope about you was folly, and that you really are a drow of Menzo Baranzon in your heart and soul.
Zack offered a helpless laugh at that.
I know well the incident to which Evenel just referred, he said. The last time birth magic was used in Menzo Baranzon, I was the spear thrown behind the magical stun. My sword, my whip, took down the enemy priestesses. It was Matron Malice who threw.
Caddy Bree was already replying angrily, and so it took her a moment to realize what Zack was saying. Then she stopped arguing, staring at him dumbfounded.
It was the birth of your husband, Zack confirmed. Drizzt was born in the moment of birth magic, powerfully thrown. Destructive magic, indeed. I see no proof that Drizzt was badly damaged by the act.
So you would have me do it?
I would have you do whatever you think best. My place here is merely to support you, and to fight for King Brunner and those others my son thought dear.
Pretty words.
If you didn't believe them, would you have given me Drizzt scimitars?
And what of you, me da? Caddy Bree asked Brunner, who was sitting perfectly silent and stone-faced.
Brunner shook his head.
I need a better answer.
I kenna know, Brunner replied. Could ye open the gates then? Could ye banish 1,000 demons? Sure, and that'd be a grand thing to make your babe a hero even as it's born. But how am I to know, me girl?
He shook his head.
Caddy Bree started to reply, but stopped, fumbling for words. A moment later, it didn't matter, for a brutal contraction lifted her head right from the pillow, doubling her over. Led by Penny, the dwarven priestesses rushed into the room. Some priests came in as well, but Evenel was not to be seen.